Father, we glorify You today as we come. We glorify You with our presence. We glorify You with our voices. And we glorify You in our hearts. May all that we do this day, Lord, be pleasing in Your sight. May all that is spoken, Lord, be Yours. In Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you can tell me, this is a trivia question for something that happened in the last year. How many of you can tell me, raise your hand if you can, if you know who Milorad Kavik is? Any, that familiar to anybody? He's been in the news this year. It is a man, Milorad Kavik. Anybody? Now this is interactive. I'm giving you permission. You can raise your hand if you know who that is. Okay, well let me ask you another person. How many of you know who Michael Phelps is? Just about everybody's heard the name Michael Phelps. Maybe you can't place exactly what, but he was the Olympic swimmer, 8 gold medals, blew everybody away. Milorad Kavik is the man that Michael Phelps beat in the 100 meter butterfly. Does anybody remember what the margin of victory was? 1/100th of a second. Not 1 second, but 1/100th of a second. Now, what in the world? How can you measure? What is? Let's get a perspective, just to give you a little perspective on what 1/100th of a second is. 1/100th of a second is 30 times faster than the blink of an eye. John? See that little boy blinking his eye there? 1/100th of a second is 30 times faster than that. Also, 1/100th of a second is 1/36th the time that it takes. Go ahead, John. The next one. For a major league pitcher who can throw 100 miles an hour, 1/36th of that time is how much 1/100th of a second is. Now, have any of you ever faced a 100 mile an hour fastball? Is anybody? I actually have. When I was in high school, we had this. There was this kid at the school, the next county over from us. They had won like 18 state championships in a row. And this kid could come and he could throw it. They said he could throw a 100 mile an hour fastball. I don't have no actual proof, but that's what they were saying. The scouts were all after him. Anytime we played them, there was a half a dozen scouts there, all coming to see him. And as soon as he pitched or as soon as he hit, they would put their stuff up and go about their merry way. I never could get them to look at me. I remember one game that he pitched against us, throwing that supposed 100-mile-an-hour fastball. He pitched a no-hitter against us, believe it or not. And yet, I went 2 for 3. Now you say, now if you know about baseball, you say, how could he pitch a no-hitter and you go 2 for 3? Well, what I actually did, I actually put my bat on the ball 2 of the 3 times I batted against him, so I counted that as a victory. Most everybody else struck out 3 times, but I actually put the ball in play 2. He only struck me out 1. 1/100th of a second is 1/36th the time it takes for that ball to reach home plate. Also, 1/100th of a second is the blur in the flash of lightning. 1/100th of a second. Now let me show you what 1/100th of a second looked like in the Olympic 100 meter butterfly. John, can you see that? Phelps is on the left. Kavik is on the right. Can you see the difference there? It's almost undetectable, but if you look closely, you can see that Phelps' fingers on his right hand are actually bent a little bit where he's touching the wall. Kavik's are just about there. He's just reaching it. It looks like maybe in distance-wise, it's the length of his fingernail, maybe. 1/100th of a second. Can you imagine losing by 1/100th of a second? You know, as I thought about this, and I got this idea from an article that I read. I saw this in a Sports Illustrated article. They said in the article that Kavik was doing well with having lost the race, that he was very positive about it, and that he was happy with a silver medal and all. And I guess you could be if you've done your very best, if you've done the absolute utmost and you can't do any better, then it's okay if you fall a little short from the gold medal. If you've given your very best, it is tolerable. In sports, you know, how many of you play in any kind of game, whether it's sports or whether it's a board game or on the computer? I hate to get beat when I do something, when I don't do the very best I can. When I go out and play golf with Travis and John, I know that I'm not going to win, and Brennan's going to beat me most of the time, particularly if he plays like the last time we played. But when we go out and play golf and I get beat and I've done the best I can, I don't care. It's the same way with anything in life. In your job, in your work, if you've done the very best you can to make a sale and for some reason they just go somewhere else, then you've done the best you can. You know, you can live with that. If you've done the very best you can at work to produce a good product, you've been there on time and you've done all these things, that's the best you can do. You can be satisfied with whatever comes your way when you've done your best. If you've done the very best you can in your family, no matter what happens, no matter if you may end up a little short this month and may not be able to get your kids the very best birthday present or the very best Christmas present that somebody else can, if you've done the very best you can, then that's okay. You can live with it. You can live with it because you have given a maximum effort. Maximum effort is the title of the sermon this morning. Maximum effort is what Jesus gave when He came to this earth. We've talked about the incarnation over the last month, about Jesus coming to earth in the form of a baby, an innocent, helpless infant. But this innocent, helpless infant grew to be a man who gave himself completely, his whole being, everything he had, a maximum effort to follow God's will and to be the Savior for people, for you and me. Jesus gave a maximum effort. The Scriptures tell us from Philippians 2:5-11, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus gave a maximum effort in that He completely surrendered Himself to God. Jesus didn't hold anything back of Himself. He emptied Himself. He poured Himself out. He gave Himself totally. He surrendered. What that means for us and how we surrender is that it means that we are willing to listen to what God has to say to us in His Word and in our hearts and how God speaks to us in the communication that we have with friends and fellow Christians and the things that we learn in church, in Sunday school, in Bible study, that we are willing to hear what God is saying. Surrendering completely. You cannot hear what God is saying unless you are willing to surrender. You may get little snippets here and there. You may get a little sound bite somewhere. But you will not hear the Word and the voice of God without a surrender. Without first saying, "Lord, not my will, but Yours." Jesus also gave a maximum effort in that He practiced complete obedience. Now this means that He not only heard what God was saying to Him, but that He responded and acted upon that information that He heard. He shared only those things with the disciples, with the world, that his Father had revealed to him and give to him. That's Scripture. He gave everything. He acted upon what he heard, the things that he knew. When we surrender ourselves, it's more, folks, than just saying, Lord, here I am. It is then acting. It is then giving ourselves 100%, not 99.9%, not anything less than total maximum effort to God, acting upon that which God has shown us. Now, as you look over this past year, as you look into the year of 2008, can you say that you gave it your maximum effort? Most of us can say, we did pretty good. We've done all right. I've given to the church. I've been present at the services, most of them. I've come as much as I really wanted to. But have we given our maximum effort over this past year? I haven't. I have fallen down. I have fallen short. I know I have. I admit it before you. If you want to get specific, I could sit down and probably write you a nice long list of it out. But that's what's important is that we recognize that we are not, as individuals and as a church, over the past year, we have not given a maximum effort. Not one of us. As you look at the new year, will you commit to a maximum effort? Will you commit to giving it all? Your answer should be yes. If you belong to Jesus Christ, your answer should be yes, because you recognize what He has already done for you and the maximum effort that has been put forth for you by Him. Your answer should be yes. I've watched this movie several times. It's an old World War II movie. I'm a World War II buff. I love the history surrounding World War II and all, because I had a lot of kin people, my dad and uncles involved in that war. And so I read a lot of stuff and watch all the movies that involve it. This was one, an old movie from probably late 50s, early 60s with Gregory Peck. I believe the name of it was 12 O'Clock High. In that movie, it's about the 8th Army, 8th Air Force, that carried out the bombing upon France and Germany and the Nazi-held areas from England during World War II. And I remember a part in the movie they were talking about that they would go out on missions, everyday missions were going out, but not every day did they put forth what they called a maximum effort. And later, and I didn't quite understand what that was and never thought about it, but it was one of those things on the History Channel where they were talking about movies in history. I haven't seen one of those lately, but they were showing this movie and they had some people, historians, talking about that movie during commercials, and they'd have little breaks. And they said they addressed that question of maximum effort. They said on a particular mission, they would classify this, that they would do this with maximum effort. And what that meant is that any aircraft that they had that was flyable was put in the air. That this mission was so important, so critical to the war effort, so crucial, that they spared no expense, they spared nothing. They put everything that was flyable, everything possible, in the air to complete the mission. This year at Francis Asbury, we have a critical mission. We had one last year, and we'll have one 2 years from now and 10 years from now, unless Jesus comes back. And that critical mission is to carry the good news of Jesus Christ to the people in our community, and to share His love and His grace, His mercy with the people in this community. We have not done it fully yet. And chances are that this year we're not going to do it completely and fully either. But that is our goal. That is what we strive for. There are some things that we need this year from you. There are some things that this church need from you this year. Of course it needs your gifts and your presence here on Sunday morning. That's how the budget is met. That's how the electricity is paid, and the lights are paid, and the preacher's paid, and the various staff are paid, the insurance is paid. All of those things have to be paid. But that's not what I'm so worried about this year. What I'm worried about is people stepping up and saying, I will do this. What can I do to help? How can I be of service? Every person in here today, every member of this church, every person who participates in the ministry of this church, or every person who is involved in this church, needs to be involved in a tangible, hands-on way with something going on in this church. We're going to need Sunday school teachers this year. I plan on there being two new Sunday school classes started this year. One is going to be a couples class. I've already got one person that's willing to be a part-time teacher of that. I need somebody else. Maybe God is telling you that you need to be step forward and say, I will do that. There's also going to be a confirmation class starting in the next month or 6 weeks for folks that are in the fifth grade range. That's going to be taking place. And my goal is that that's going to be a Sunday school class. It's going to eventually, when I get through with the confirmation, is going to become a Sunday school class, a middle school age youth group for those kids. I need somebody that's going to take that youth group and take that Sunday school class when I teach confirmation. This welcome table thing, folks, this is going to be the thing that we need so much help from. And it doesn't have to be that you commit to 10 hours on Friday, on Wednesdays, but you can commit to an hour here or an hour there. There are ways that we can use you. I know Sunday school teacher Cindy, we're going to need a replacement for Cindy because she's not going to be able to continue teaching. That's my understanding. So we're going to need somebody to at least give her relief when this new little girl comes along, so that she can have a break there and we can still have Sunday school for our kids. We need those things. We need people willing to step up and just say, what can I do? I'll take the trash off. I'll provide flowers this week. All these things. We need a maximum effort from each and every one in this church. God demands nothing less, and Christ deserves nothing less than our very best, our maximum effort. Wouldn't it be a shame to go through all eternity knowing that you gave God less than your best? Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't love us when we fall short. We know He did, because even when we fall short, He's still given us Jesus. But wouldn't it be a shame to have to look at Him and say, I could have done better, I knew I could have done better, and I failed. John, show that Michael Phelps slide again, if you can, without getting in too much difficulty there. In an interview, in that Sports Illustrated article that I read, Michael Phelps, you see it there, Michael Phelps said that if Kavik, his opponent, had kept his head down at the end of that race, in the last 1 meter of that race, that he would have won. If you'll look at the picture, Phelps on the left, you see his head down in the water, completely focused. Look at Kavik on the right. It seems just in the last, at the last stroke, he raised his head. It doesn't take much, folks, to throw off 1/100th of a second. Now, whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. But wouldn't it be terrible to say that I've taken my eye off Jesus, I've lost my focus just this little bit, and I failed to give my maximum effort? Because you see, it's not that it's going to damage us so much to fail that little bit. We don't have to be perfect for God to love us and to have a home for us in heaven. But if we take our focus off that little bit, we may fail somebody else. And we may let up at just that point that we could offer just what that person was needing at that moment. We need a maximum effort. There's no way we can stack up, but we have to give it our all. An occasional attention to God is not enough. We have to give Him our best every Sunday, every Monday, all the way through Saturday and start all over again. We can't be negative about everything that goes on. We can't be gloom and doom about every situation. We have to give God our best and do our hardest. The Laotians, John, the Apostle John, spoke, received the messages from Jesus to the seven churches in Asia Minor, to the Laodiceans, he said to them, "Because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth." Folks, we're either for him or we're not. It takes a maximum effort. Paul says it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." This morning, as we come together for communion on this first Sunday of the new year, I invite you to make a commitment to give your maximum effort this year, not just at Francis Asbury, but as a member in the body of Christ. Press on. Press on with maximum effort. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning and we honor you with ourselves. May we all recognize that it takes much. It takes perseverance. And Lord, give us the wisdom and the strength to do that. Lord, may we give our maximum effort here this day and in each day. Lord, bless the efforts that we make. Help us not to get discouraged when we fall short. But may we even come back with more determination to follow your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. And we have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread, gave thanks to You, broke the bread, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Christ, in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, with the confidence of children, let us pray as Christ taught His disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen.